Can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? When you're turning there, could I say that I got an email as well from another one from the Reverend Park, and there is a video that is put on YouTube with thanks. You remember the offering that we took for the floods in Acre with Dr. Bill Woods, where he was and around there. And the Reverend Park has done a video sort of to bring us to update. Now, I just got the email this morning and I didn't look at the video, so I don't know what it's like. But it's there as a thanks to those that gave, and we do thank you for that at the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen. We know the Lord again will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite again in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the common feast that we have. We bless thee that we can meet around thy word, or around thy table rather, as thy people, and around thy word. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst even bless us as we come together today, and help us to eat and drink with that worthiness, and, O God, with that confession of sin, as we draw nigh to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to take verse 28 as a text today. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The Lord's Supper is something that is central to the worship of the church. We read in Acts chapter 2 how that when the people were saved at the day of Pentecost, it says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And I think that far too often our communion celebration is looked upon as being commonplace, or just a little ceremony that we go through every few months or so. In reality, it's much more than that. Communion is a time to remember. We have the opportunity as we gather around the table today to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the center cross of Calvary, and how he rose from the dead there in the garden tomb. It's good to remember a little girl one time, a beautiful young daughter, was tragically killed. And the parents were devastated with their only child. Their hearts were grieved. They were Christians. And as time passed by, the husband and wife sadly grew apart. And their love for each other wasn't the same as it once was before their daughter was killed. And there was a wedge between them. And finally, their love got cold. A bitter hatred came into their lives. And finally, they agreed to separate from one another and finally to divorce. But as they were going through the home one day and trying to clear things up, all the stuff that accumulated over the years of marriage, they got tired and sat down to rest for a minute, and their eyes chanced to light upon a little pair of red shoes. They were the little shoes that belonged to their little girl. And the reminder of their precious daughter came to their minds. And soon their hearts were softened and they began to weep. The little reminder that they had of the blessings that they were leaving behind, the little red shoes, the reminder that they brought were a turning point in their lives and in their marriage. And as we come to the feast today, I want it to be like the little red shoes to us. It's a reminder of our Saviour who loved us and gave himself for us. And oh, that the Lord might soften our hearts afresh as we think of him. It's a time to remember. It's also a time to reflect upon our walk with the Lord Jesus. As we come to the communion table, we reflect on our going, on our walk, on our progress. Are we making progress with God? Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? The text says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What about our profession of faith? What about the strength of our walk with God? Is that good? What also about our repentance? This is a time to remember. It's a time to reflect. It's also a time to repent. It's a time when we get right with God as God's people. It's not a coincidence that many of the revivals that have taken place in church history have taken place at communion seasons. Now, men and women, I want us to think and realize we need a revival from the Lord. We need the breath of God. And the Bible says, let a man examine himself. And so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And we come today in the spirit of examination. And there are a number of things that I want you to see about this examination, this self-examination that we are to do as we come to the Lord's Supper. And the first thing I want you to see is the precept of self-examination. There's a command, there's a precept here. Let a man examine himself. That is in the imperative case. It is a command. Let a man examine himself. The word examine there is a word that means to prove or to try. It has a word that has association with the testing of metals to see whether they are true or whether they are pure. And it has the thought here of a critical examination, a test of genuineness, a test of examination. We are to prove, we are to try ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. And I want you to think about the nature of this self-examination. We've said that the meaning is to test or to try or to prove. We are here to have a thorough look at ourselves. The text doesn't say, let a man glance at himself. It doesn't say take a cursory look at himself, a fleeting glance at himself, but the word here has the connotation of a deep, thorough testing of yourself. We're to stop and to think. Now, we live in a day of hustle and bustle and busyness, And very often we don't have time to sit down and to think about ourselves. But this is a time when it is absolutely vital that we as God's people sit down and think of where we're going and what we are and what we're doing in our lives. How are we serving the Saviour? How is our walk with God? Not only do we see the nature of the self-examination, but I want you to see the necessity of it. Because if we're to come to the Lord's Supper, we are to do this work of examination. And if you haven't already done it, then I want you to look in your heart now, child of God. Now, this is a great bulwark against sin. Because if we keep on considering ourselves, if we look in our hearts, we will see what an awful thing sin is. We will view sin in the light of the commands of God. We will see what God has laid down in His Word and how far short we come of it or how near we are to it. And there is a cause for us to change our behaviour and to turn around and to walk with God. So this is a regular examination that we are to do of ourselves. We don't just stumble into the Lord's Supper. We don't just come out of a sense of duty. But we come with this thought of what am I doing? Where am I going with God? Not only is it a bulwark against sin, but it's a bulwark against liberalism. Because we think of the symbols here. We think of the broken bread that speaks of the broken body of the Lord Jesus. And the fruit of the vine which speaks of His shed blood. And that reminds us of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes and He tells us to receive it to ourselves. And what He has done, we receive. This speaks of the cross. And we receive the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a bulwark against theological liberalism. There are so many today who repudiate the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He says, this is My body which is broken for you. This is My blood which was shed for you. And every time we come to the communion table, we are reminded that our Savior died for us, that we might be saved, and that our sins might be dealt with on the center cross of Calvary. So we come today and we remember the precept, we remember that this is a command. It's not optional really for God's people. Now I know that some people have to go because maybe of children or whatever reason it may be that you might have to go. But in normal circumstances and all other things being equal, this is God's command. And you come and you wait. And you come with this sense of self-examination. So we notice the precept for self-examination. But also want you to see the personal nature of self-examination. We're told, let a man examine himself. Examine himself. We're coming to look at our own hearts. It's very good. We're very good at looking at other people's hearts. And we can certainly sum up the faults of other people. But we come to the communion and we look at our own hearts. And we come to examine ourselves. And we look at what kind of people we are. What we have done. And what we are in the sense of a holy God. I remember speaking to a young man who expressed the opinion that if you have a disagreement with your brother, you ought not to come. Well, there is that sense in which you've got to get it right with your brother. But if you have done something wrong, then the thing to do is stay away from communion. But that's using communion as a weapon. And I've often said before that you do not use communion as a weapon. You do not use communion as a weapon. This is the Lord's table. It's not to get at somebody else. Or to get at the church because they haven't dealt with somebody else. It is to come to the Lord's table. Well, what are we to examine? We're to examine ourselves. Well, we are to examine our position in Christ. Are you saved? A person cannot come to the feast of the Lord if his heart is not right with God. We're told that if a person eats and drinks unworthily, they eat and drink damnation to themselves. That word there, damnation, is not the thought of eternal damnation. It is chastisement that is speaking of here. But this is a very serious thing. It is not speaking about having a knowledge of Christ or professing to be the Lord's, but it is speaking of a true possession of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You know, it would be an awful thing to come to the Lord at the end of the day and hear him say the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Are the evidences there? Have you a clear interest in the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Does the Spirit witness with your spirit that you are the child of God? Are you saved? Not only are we to examine our position, but we are to examine our practice. Do we do what our faith professes that we should do? Do we worship God? You know, you get Christians who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't worship God any more than some of the more religious heathen worship the Lord. We've got to remember that we are to come and to worship God, and we are to speak a word for the Lord. There are those that profess and they never speak a word for Christ. There are those that never pray. There are those that never read his word. We examine ourselves. How much TV do you watch? What kind of TV programs? What about your Sabbath keeping? Why are you doing the things on the Sabbath day that you should not do? Is the Sabbath a delight, a joy to you? What about your relationship with others? Is there that gossiping and evil speaking? The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Are other things entering in? Are there things that you're watching, seeing, taking part in that you know that God's word warns you against? We need to make sure that we examine what we're doing. What about your practice? Is it living up to what you profess to be in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we have the purpose of our examination. It is that we serve the Lord with all our heart. Do you have a purpose that is to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, there are many areas that we need to bring our lives into conformity with. We think of what it says in Matthew chapter 5. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. We are to be reconciled with our brethren and sisters. What about the area of worldliness? Has worldliness entered in? Does there need to be forgiveness? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you're intent on going in the path of sin, and if your intention is to stay away from the place of prayer, and if your intention is to keep on not studying the Bible, if your intention is, I don't want to live a life of holiness, well, don't come to the Lord's table, because you'll be eating and drinking unworthily. You will be eating and drinking unworthily. But this is personal. Let a man examine himself. So what about you and me? What about myself? Are there things that we need to get right with God? We need to keep short accounts with God. And then we have the provision for self-examination. The psalmist says in Psalms 26 and verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. Now here Paul says, let a man examine himself. In the psalm, the psalmist says, Lord, examine me. And it maybe might seem like a contradiction, but it's not. Both things need to be true. We need to examine ourselves. but we do so not in the light of our own standard. You see, if we judge ourselves in the light of our own standard, we can pass very easily. You know, we can come with our own standards and we can compare ourselves with such and such, and usually it is the most ungodly person that we dare compare ourselves with. And my, we look not a bad person in comparison. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 16 and 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. In Proverbs 21 and 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Robert Leighton was a 17th century Scottish bishop known for his piety. And he said this, and I quote, men compare themselves with men and readily with the worst, and flatter themselves with that comparative betterness. This is not the way to see the spots, to look into the muddy streams of profane men's lives, but to look into the clear fountain of the Word. And there we may discern and wash them and consider the infinite holiness of God, and this will humble us to dust. And men and women, we don't look at ourselves and we don't compare ourselves with our fellows and our Christians that are around us. Where do we compare ourselves? Where do we examine ourselves? In the light of the mirror of this book. In the light of the commands that are here. The Lord Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the word of God brings its commands. And the word of God brings its standards. And it's a higher standard than we would want to judge ourselves by. But that is the standard. That is the standard. We read of what Paul said in Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So what is the provision for self-examination? It's the word of God. It's God's commands. That's where we examine ourselves. That's the standard. And then we have the product of self-examination. What is it that it will bring to our hearts? Well, we've already sort of mentioned one of them, and that is repentance. It'll bring repentance if we confess our sins. We think of David in the Psalm 51 and verses 1 to 4, and he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. And if we have sinned, then we bring it to the Lord. We think of the great revivals of the past. I think of the Kirk of Shotts revival in 1630. And John Livingstone preached that dramatic message at that communion season. And 500 people were transformed by the power of God. There was repentance. We think of how it happened again in Cambus Lang outside Glasgow at that time in 1742 at a great communion service. And the annals, the statistical count of Scotland says this, each of these tents was attended with great congregations, and it has been estimated that not less than 30,000 people attended on that occasion. Four ministers preached on the fast day, four on Saturday, 14 or 15 on Sunday, and five on Monday. There were 25 tables, 120 at each, in all 3,000 communicants. Many of these came from Glasgow, about 200 from Edinburgh, and many from Kilmarnock, and from Irvine, and Stewarton, also some from England and Ireland. The number of persons converted at this period cannot be ascertained. Mr. McCullough, in a letter to Mr. Robb, dated 30th of April, 1751, rates them at 400, of which number 70 were inhabitants of Cambus Lang. So it was a time of repentance, and it's a time of getting right with God. It is a time of revival. It's a time of joy. My, the communion is known in the Bible as the feast, and that expresses joy. It speaks of joy. We rejoice. Jeremiah Burroughs, the Puritan, said, "This is a great mystery of godliness, that there should be at the same time the sight of Christ crucified and a spiritual cheerfulness in the assurance of love of God in Jesus Christ." There's joy. There's peace. We have peace with God and peace with one another. And my, how the doctors tell us that so often physical illnesses come as a result of an unsettled mind. And because of our getting right with God, we have peace. We also have thankfulness. We come to the table with thanksgiving to God. And we say, "Yea, I have loved thee." And we come to God and we say, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Oh, do we love the Lord Jesus like that? Is there that joy, that peace, that thanksgiving in our hearts as we come to the Lord here at the table of the Lord? But there's something else I want you to see. Not only do we see the product of self-examination, but I want you to see the paramount place of self-examination. Verse 29 there goes on and it says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And I want you to see that that phrase puts a very important stamp upon this matter of self-examination. It goes on to say later that many sleep, many have died, because they had taken the feast of the Lord, the communion table, lightly. They had come to it lightly. And because of that, it says that many of them had died. The Lord had taken them out of the world. It wasn't that they weren't saved anymore. And the word damnation, as we say, doesn't speak of eternal damnation. It speaks of judgment. These were God's people, okay. But some of them had committed what we call the sin unto death, and they were taken out of the world because of their unworthiness. And if we're not discerning the Lord's body, if we don't judge ourselves, the Lord will judge us. Maybe we have been guilty of not taking this communion seriously. Perhaps we have come today and we haven't looked into our hearts and we haven't looked at what we have been doing. Well, we have the opportunity as we come. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The Puritan William Gurnall said this, and I quote, "Thou mayest, though a child of God, be under fresh guilt and defilement, and yet unrepented of." Now, in this case, God can shut his door upon his own child. "As a saint, thou hast a right to all the promises of the covenant, but as a saint under guilt or defilement of any sin that thou hast not yet repented of, thou art not fit to enjoy what thou hast a right to as a saint. God doth not disinherit thee, indeed, but he sequesters the promise from thee, and the rents of it shall not be paid to thee till thou renewest thy repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus for the pardon of it. Thy God will choose a fitter time than this to signify his love to thee." We need to keep short accounts with God. And if you're here today and you've never believed in Christ, we invite you to respond to the cross. He was crucified that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved. And he took our penalty and our judgment upon us. And we pray that God's grace may be given to you and that you might be convicted of your sin. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Well, examine yourself. Where are you going? Where are you going? You need to get right with God today. And you need to come to his feet. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come together as thy people, and we come in the spirit of repentance to thee. We know, Lord, each one of us, as we look in our own hearts, that there are many things that we need to repent of. We have not diligent in prayer. We have neglected the reading of thy word. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst make us zealous in our witness for thee. And Lord, bless our walk with thee day by day. Lord, we pray that we might examine ourselves. And so let us eat of the bread and drink of the cup. May God write his word upon our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.